Welcome to Documentary First, the inside look at a first-time filmmaker's journey. I'm your host, Josh Lindsay from the Movie Proposal Podcast. And with me is our first-time filmmaker, Christian Taylor.
Hey, Josh Lindsay.
Hello, Christian. And sitting next to Christian is a guy who does push buttons.
They're keys, I guess.
Keys, I'll go with that.
All right. Jason Rugg.
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good.
How about
good.
Hey there?
Hey there.
Thank you. I like the little head nod you do. Hey there.
Hey there. Hey, how's it going?
There was some good head movement in there in case, you know, you can't see it, which you can't, so I'll just
tell
you
that. I think it's sad that we don't do video anymore, but.
Podcast killed the video star.
That's true, it did.
Yeah.
All right. So today, Christian's making a movie. She's still making the movie.
And I'm still a first-time filmmaker.
You're still a first-time filmmaker.
Yeah.
What is going on? Like, to finish this film, you need some money because you're not just the filmmaker.
I know.
You're the producer, financier.
Fundraiser is what I am. Yeah.
How's that going?
Well, we really could use a fundraising person for real. So if you're listening to this and you, we'll be happy to give you a percentage of whatever you raise. Email me, Christian@NormandyStories.com, because I desperately need some help. I will tell you that I hate fundraising, and I will tell you that I will never do a film again raising my own money. That's just
famous last words. Someone's going to bring this podcast back up to you 5 years from now when
probably.
You're in the middle of raising money
that
for your
podcast
next film.
Didn't age well. I do not want to do that anymore. It's still honestly, Tim Gray of the World War II Foundation, who I think has done like 21 documentaries, told me when I first asked him, he's like, the fundraising will kill you. And Ken Burns says the same thing. I'm like, Ken Burns has to fundraise for films? Oh, my Lord, I'm dead. yes, but that has been right. And I've had to kind of figure it out as time goes along. Recently, we figured out something that worked surprisingly well. But in all these screenings, we set up our own reservation system where people go to our website, they input their names, and then we ask them for a suggested donation. And people have been donating. So for the first time, like, it hasn't – I mean, they've just made a reservation and donated $20. So we've been slowly getting small donations, but regularly. And I didn't really realize that that would work. So that's a new fundraising thing that I learned, suggested donations are a good thing to add when you ask people to sign up for your
shows. Where have you – I mean, obviously you can ask for a donation from someone who's coming to see your film. You talk to organizations. But have you talked to people or read much about how to successfully fundraise?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Who has time to do that? I've just been in the middle. I mean, it started with us doing a Kickstarter, right? I mean, that's not that hard. There's enough online to research about that. But if you haven't ever done a Kickstarter or a GoFundMe or an Indiegogo or a Hatch Fund like we did, then you don't understand that producing a fundraising campaign like that might as well be producing a movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just as challenging. You have to create video pieces. You have to create a whole campaign. You have to create giveaways. You have to follow up with people all the time. You have to use social media to do that. Mm-hmm. And it takes a team to do that, and you have to constantly be on top of it. So it's not like something that happens easily or quickly. And so we did that. We raised $32,000. That was nice, but, not a lot. So, and there was a lot of work to keep that up. Then a year ago, we went to the fundraising model where we just had a good social media presence, asked people to donate, and we've raised $100,000.
Wow.
In a year, which for most people raising money is like pitiful, I guess. But for me, I was like, okay, I'm pretty proud of that. Yeah. I've had to work for 80% of our donors donate $100 or less.
Okay.
So we have had a lot of donors. No, I really, truly have been going places, making my pitch just to audiences or groups of people, trying to connect with individuals that have, more money to give or ready, you know, to buy in at a different level.
Or influence level. With people who do.
Yeah, or influence
I know Sky said this before in the Holy Post where it's like, you know, if you know someone, not necessarily—
Sky being Sky Gittani.
Sky Gittani from the Holy Post said that if you are someone who's listening and know someone of influence— maybe they have money or not, but maybe they know people who do. So maybe they're over an organization, be it a, you know, a World War II organization, a country club, a church, or whatever it might be, that might have an interest in France or World War II or D-Day or whatever it might be. And so
veterans,
connecting those dots so that they have. So you don't have to have influence over 1,000 people. You can find 3 people that have influence over 300,000 people.
Well, and I'll give you an instructive example. So we were in Normandy. We were live streaming. Janie and Bob Miller began seeing us on Facebook. They had just gotten back from Normandy. Bob's dad had landed there. They were compelled by what we were doing, so they began following our film. Over the course of time, they've become one of our most important donors. And people in the film, they are now executive producers because they've donated, you know, consistently. But they also went to an organization that they're associated with, the Massanutten Military Academy. They pitched the film to this academy, and the academy gave $5,000.
That's awesome.
You know, wow. And so I had another woman that's involved with the film. She talked to her friend about it. That was the woman that donated $25,000. So I have found that it is in personal contact. That is where largely our donations have come. Mm-hmm. And it is a grassroots movement for sure.
So, but you've obviously had success at it. You know, I mean, you've thrown out numbers like 30,000 and 25,000, 100,000 here, you know. So, like, it's not the threshold that you need, but it's like you have the ability to do it. And now it's just the ability to grow it at a higher level or be more strategic about it. And like you said, you're always looking for someone to fill that role to do that.
So. I mean, I'm at the point where I really have to, like, we did a lot of silent auctions. I mean, it sounds silly. We might as well have done a bake sale to sure. You know, that was on the table at one point. But we've done, you know, silent auctions. People will donate. I have a woman on my crew, Patty Egenhouse, who's just a master at getting people to donate things. And so we've done these silent auctions, but that is a lot of work. And the most we've ever made from one of those is $3,000. So the you know, return on investment really isn't there. And so I am learning now, we do have to be very strategic about how we spend our time and the people that we are asking for funding for, particularly since we have a short window. So the desire would be to raise $100,000, you know, over the next 3 months so we could finish. So that's, we're like in 3 months, we're trying to raise what we raised over the whole last year. So that's a super aggressive goal. And that means I need to find a group of people who have more money that they are willing to share than, you know, our $100 and less donors.
So let's switch gears for a second. You know, you've been working on the film. And I think a lot of people, you know, maybe even if you're listening to this podcast, you know, you're like, we talk about all these screenings. And so there's a film being shown, but you're still working on the film.
Right.
So what's changed in the film recently?
Well, in the last edit that we did cut out 20 minutes, and it's super hard. We've cut out small little chunks of just about everybody, and then we cut out several big stories, sadly. It was very hard, but we did. And we then had to have the score, like, readjusted. And then we had to have the sound remixed. We threw some sound effects and had to remix everything. And we spent a lot of time, thanks to my co-producer, Michelle Coupe, fixing the subtitles so that they were shorter, easier to read. And so that is sort of the new film that we're showing. what still has to happen. It still has to be color mixed and graded. It still has to have live instrumentation added to the score. It still needs to have some other sound effects we didn't have time to put in. It needs to have some new graphics and some subtitle work still. And we would like to overdub it so that you don't have to read the whole film. Mm. So that's, and we have to buy the rights for some archival stuff that's in the film. So that's where my, that's all what the budget is, you know, the $100,000 I'm trying to raise, that's what it goes to cover. And when I go there, you know, at these different screenings, I explain to everybody, look, the movie that you're going to see, for the most part, if you're not in the business, you understand. I mean, it looks like a film. You're going to think it's done.
Right.
But what we've done is we have built the house. We've built the house, we've laid the sod, we've put the driveway and the porch is on, we've even painted on the inside.
Is this like the model house you get to tour?
Yes, the model house you get to tour. But we have not put the furniture in, and we have not put the hung the curtains, and
like
we
have the TV is fake. It's just it's cardboard. It's not a real TV, and
exactly
flowers are fake.
So there's lots of interior decorating stuff and personal touches that need to be added. And so that's where we are in the stage of things. And I'm hoping that it will motivate people to say, hey, let's get on board with this project, because we're getting in on the ground floor, in a sense. And it is this tidal wave that we're riding. I don't know where it's going to go, honestly, but I know we're a part of something special. And when people see the film, they understand that it is something special. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the most wonderful thing about it, the way that we've fundraised in a grassroots way, is that so many people now are part of this Girl Who Wore Freedom family. And so together we are making this come to life. It's not just one person. It's, you know, it's a team of, you know, you guys are part of it, you know? You're on this journey with us, you know? Yeah. And it's fun, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of interesting to see what happens.
Absolutely.
I do love that about this grassroots fundraising thing.
So remind everyone again where they can go to donate and to participate in screenings.
Yes. So can I say one other thing about the screenings?
No.
If you're, dang it.
Go ahead.
If you are, you know, thinking about doing your own film and you're thinking about fundraising, one thing that you need to understand is when we're doing these screenings, I am not paying money to go and do the screenings. That's a key. You really have to have a group of people that says, I'll fly you there. I'll give you money for gas. We'll pay for the theater. Mm-hmm. We'll do the reception. You won't have to spend anything. Just bring your film here.
Right.
And so that's what we've been doing. And I think it's important to have, you know, when people sign on to your mission, they want to help you. So
Right. There's
that. So in order for you to find out where screenings are, go to www.normandystories.com/screenings. Look for a screening in your area. By the time you listen to this one, though, we may almost be done. It is October 10th now, and I'm not quite sure when this one will come out, but we have DC coming up, and then we're in Branson, Missouri. Then we're in the Village is Florida, then we're back in St. Charles, Illinois, and then we're in Southern California.
Ooh.
So that's all the way through November 25th. So if you're listening to this after November 25th, you can forget it. No,
wait a second. I thought there was some in Wheaton in January.
There's one in Wheaton in January, and then we're going to be at the Massanutten Military Academy in like April. I mean, there are more. They're next year, but the big bulk of them are this year.
All right.
By that time, we may have another version of the film.
Okay. And where can you go to donate or volunteer?
Yes. Thank you for asking that. NormandyStories.com/donate. You would be donating through PayPal or using a credit card through PayPal. It is a tax-deductible donation. And if you would like to volunteer, we need administrative volunteers desperately. Writers, fundraisers, you know, social media for sure. So if you or someone you know can volunteer, email me, christian@normandystories.com. Thank
awesome.
You guys for listening.
And by the time this podcast comes out, she may be on her next film. So plenty of stuff to do.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
All right. Well, hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Documentary First, where we believe everyone has a story to tell, and you can be the one to tell it.
Bye, everybody. Thank you for listening to Documentary First. We really appreciate your partnership with us. We can't do any of this without you. So thank you so much for listening, for donating, and for following along on our journey. If you are able to make a donation this week, we really would appreciate it. We are supported by donors who give us $100 or less, so anything helps. Also, if you're able to share the news about The Girl Who Wore Freedom with your friends and family, please do that on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or email, and sign up for our newsletter at normandystories.com. Please go to normandystories.com/donate to make a donation today.